weary by the weight of trying to attain paradise for yourself, burdened by the guilt that you haven't done enough and haven't served God or others enough. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. It's not merely a command. It's an invitation from our gracious God.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, June 2nd, 2024. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 to 15.
There's a joke on social media that depicts a woman who's got a phone in one hand, and in the other hand, she has an iron, and next to the iron is a large stack of things that need to be done. And behind her is a child who looks like he's sick with a pile of medicine, and he's leaned over. And the kitchen behind her is just an utter mess. And she's smiling because she's on the phone and she's saying, hi, I'd like to make a reservation for 2 days. And then the caption reads, respondent, sorry, ma'am, this is not a hotel. This is an asylum. We're part of the psych ward of the hospital. She's still smiling, of course, in the picture and saying, I know. Now, whether some might think this joke is insensitive to the psych ward or not, you might appreciate what it's getting behind. The fact that life can get full of frenzy and busyness, and we can frantically try to keep up with all the things that are on our plate, and our schedules can be so full that people just feel sometimes overwhelmed by the busyness of life. And the work that needs to be done, the plans that need to be made can start to overwhelm people. That's why it's important that we see today as we continue our series what God gives his people by the power of the gospel. It's something that can't be found as we simply take a 2-day stay somewhere. Or can't be found as we schedule our vacation. No, this is something that can only be found as a gift of God. And it's something that only the gospel can truly give us, just what we need, rest. We'll see that today as we look at God's command given in Deuteronomy chapter 5. These words which Moses speaks were given to a people who long needed rest. You recall their situation just 40 years after Moses speaks these words, or 40 years before Moses speaks these words. They were slaves in Egypt. Rest was something that the Israelites knew nothing of. As a slave, they were made to work for the Egyptians and were hard-pressed. When Moses was a child, and many of these people were children growing up in Egypt, that was all they knew. As their parents would wake up in the morning and head off to their slave service. Rest? No. In fact, when Moses tried to rescue the people of Egypt and told them the Lord wanted them to be released, it says that the Pharaoh worked them even harder. And they were so hard-pressed, they cried out to the Lord, looking for mercy and relief. But God fixed that. He brought them out with a mighty hand, led them out of Egypt, brought them to Sinai. And you can imagine how the first generation of Israelites probably felt when God told them that they were his now. And he said, you shall have no other gods. You're to serve me alone. You're to honor my name. And then they get to that commandment. Remember the Sabbath. See, God had taught them a few weeks earlier as he gave them bread from heaven that they're to gather it for 6 days, but on the seventh day, they were told, do no work. Gather no manna, no bread, but just find a day for rest. And so when he thunders before Sinai in all his might and he tells them they are his own, this is what they hear. You are to observe a day of rest. The Sabbath is defined, as Moses repeats it here, as a day that they're to cease from their work. Observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. At first you might listen to that and you might think, well, that's a command to rest? And the first people that came out of Egypt yet struggled with that. Even though they had been slaves, they still strove for themselves to attain everything. And when God told them to not gather manna on that seventh day, some of them just didn't listen. They tried to get more for themselves. And then God repeated this command to observe rest. For 40 years, as the people wandered, they were to observe this day. Even though they strove 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days, they were supposed to rest on the seventh. And now, 40 years later, as this new generation is about to take possession of the land God would give them, God wants them to observe, to recall what he has given them, a time of rest. It almost seems ridiculous that this would have to be a command, have to be repeated. But then again, maybe it's not so ridiculous when you consider the way that things are and the way that we conduct our lives. After all, stopping from work is not always our natural inclination. In fact, we have our view of work and rest completely messed up as a species, as a people. Our idea as human beings to work is simply to work so hard and to work so much that we can finally attain the things we want. That's the way we view rest. And you'll see the husband who tells his wife that he needs to put in extra hours this week and he can't come home on Saturday because he's got to work that overtime. And though he's not bound, as we saw from the Apostle Paul, in the Christian church to observe a particular day, he decides he's free to work that day and he needs it. And he explains to his family that this is for our good, because then we can afford the things we want or need. And so he puts in those extra hours for the extra pay. Or a wife tells her husband that if she can just put in this extra position at work, an extra time, then she'll get that promotion. And it'll be worthwhile. So she's not home because she's got to meet that end. To what end does the world work so busy that they can have the things that they have earned for themselves, so they can enjoy the rest, so they can take their life easy? Because we not only have work messed up, as we see work as an unending task to meet our end, we also have rest all mixed up, as rest becomes merely enjoying for ourselves the things that we have earned for ourselves. And so people try to accrue months of vacation. They can't wait until they can spend that money in retirement. And rest becomes the end goal of life. Is that what God intended? That we merely work as hard as we can so we can rest as hard as we can? We have it all wrong. So God had to tell his people and instruct the people of Israel, cease your work. Just one day is all he asked. Cease from your work. Don't do any work. And not just them, he said, neither you, nor your son, nor daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your animals, nor the foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. See, our view of rest is we've put in our time, therefore others could serve us. Or perhaps the Israelites might have been tempted to think that the head of the household deserves work. His wife can now take over for a bit. Or the children can serve the parents because the parents have worked all week long. Or the servants, it's their job to maintain things while the master of the house rests. God says, all of you, from the wealthiest to the poorest, from the highest position in society to the lowest, all of them are to find rest, and rest is a gift from God for all. That's what God wanted to teach and give his people Israel. And what did they do with it? We read earlier in the Gospels how they took God's gift of rest and still had a messed up picture of it, and somehow took his picture, his idea of ceasing from work, and made it into work. They gave commands on what you cannot do, on counting the number of steps that you may take on a Sabbath. The disciples were rebuked for gleaning grain because they were hungry on a Sabbath. Jesus had to teach about the importance of doing good on the Sabbath. Rest became a chore. God gives us rest, not just as a command, as a work to add one more thing we must do to please Him. No, we've had it all backwards if that's the way we view it. The command for the Sabbath is a gift of God for His people, one which He had to command so that they would realize and receive His goodness, so that they would have time for physical rest and time for His word. And it's when the Lord Himself came to this world that that rest became realized. Jesus came down to live among His people who were commanded to observe such rest, and yet He found very little rest. In the early morning hours, His disciples would come looking for Him, saying, "People are trying to find you." Jesus would hear the crowds were coming and see the crowds all around Him and would teach them and give them His time, though He found little rest. We read in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray, just so He could have that little window of rest and time in prayer. And Jesus gathered each Sabbath as He was growing up, and each Sabbath as He taught the people in the house of the Lord on the day of rest. He alone truly kept this rest command. He alone really took the time that was needed. And for all the times that we began to just work and work and work so we missed out on God's word and rest, Jesus did the work that we needed to do, took time for the word of God, came to fulfill the Father's will. And even as He lived a life where He grew often tired from His great work, He continued, as He said, to carry out His Father's will. And that included even carrying out the will of His Father as He gave His own life. And it's then when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," that He finally completed the work that we should have done of serving our God, the work that we never could have done, but He did for us. And when He cried out, "It is finished," the work of all mankind was complete. As He paid for our sins, there's nothing left for us to earn. There's nothing left for us to do before God, because Jesus did it all. And He cried out, "It is finished," as He completed that work for all the world. And then, yes, before sundown on that Friday evening, just before the Sabbath would begin at sundown on the day leading into Saturday on that evening, the body of Jesus was laid in the tomb. And then He rested. Having completed His work, Jesus rested in the tomb. And with that work complete, rising to life, He tells us of the rest and freedom that we have. The same Jesus said, "Come to Me, you who are weary and burdened." Weary by the weight of trying to attain paradise for yourself. Burdened by the guilt that you haven't done enough and haven't served God or others enough. He says, "Come to Me, and I will give you rest." Rest for your souls. It's not merely a command. It's an invitation from our gracious God. The power of the gospel not only gives us bodily rest, but invites us to receive rest for our souls as we hear the gift of God, forgiveness of sins, peace with God, a paradise promised in His kingdom, a place prepared for us. Brothers and sisters, you can work and serve God, but you can also take it easy and rest secure knowing Christ has done everything necessary. Our work now is not a burden, but a gift to serve the One who did everything. And as we live out our vocations, whether you're frantically trying to be a homemaker and manage the household, or you're clocking in for work, or you're serving others throughout your schedule and your life, you don't have to check into the asylum. You don't have to book that vacation to find rest. look to the Word of God. And in the Word of Christ, who invites you to receive his rest, to stop everything, listen to him, and receive rest for your soul. Rest that you may wake up the next day ready to serve your God, who with an outstretched hand rescued you from the slavery to sin and brought you into his kingdom of grace. See the power of the gospel that gives us rest. Amen.